Radio Netherlands, the home of high frequency since 1927.
Hello, this is Jonathan Marks via PCJ Online, just about to push the button on another programme from the Media Network Vintage Radio Archives.
This is the Dutch International Service, Radio Netherlands. Media Network, the weekly communications magazine for shortwave listeners. Produced and presented by Jonathan Marks.
Hello there and welcome to another edition of the programme. And once again, the media has been working overtime this past week. And it also looks like the Polish direction-finding specialists have been working overtime too, as Roger Broadbent now reports in this first item for Media Roundup. Last Friday, April the 30th, Radio Solidarity, the clandestine VHF transmitter of the outlawed independent trade union Solidarity, made a brief appearance on 70.1 megahertz. But soon after the broadcast started, at 9 o'clock in the evening, a huge tracking operation by the police and military authorities went into full swing to stop the unauthorized transmissions. Just a few minutes after 9 o'clock, and just before Warsaw Union Chiefs Zbigniew Buzak was expected to make a call for a variety of opposition moves during Saturday's May Day festival, the transmitter site was raided. The station had previously announced that it would reappear on April the 30th, thus giving the authorities 18 days to set up direction-finding gear in the centre of the Polish capital. Some reports also speak of jamming just before the clandestine transmitter left the air. In fact, the broadcasts from Radio Solidarity were extremely weak, only being heard in some parts of Warsaw. But last week's raid shows that the authorities were certainly highly sensitive to its existence. Soon after the broadcast, one district of Warsaw was completely sealed off by hundreds of police cars, and both cars and people entering and leaving the district were thoroughly searched. In the meantime, Radio Polonia, the government-run external service, has increased its English language output to 8 half-hour programmes a day. The new transmissions start at 13 hours UTC on 7285 and 6095 kHz, that's 7285 and 6095, and at 1730 UTC on 9540 and 6125 kHz. That's 9540 and 6125. In addition, the broadcast at 1830 UTC is also being carried on 1502 kHz medium wave, that's 1502, in addition to the usual shortwave outlets. The old transmissions at 0630, 12 hours, 14 hours, 1830, 2030 and 2230 UTC remain unchanged. The current media battle of the airwaves between Argentina and Britain over the Falkland Islands has now moved into a further stage. The Argentinians, using the former cable and wireless point-to-point facility on the Falkland Islands, have changed their usage from a 24 MHz channel to 11565 upper sideband, which propagates well from about 18 hours onwards into Europe. But they haven't changed the identification tape used to set up telephone circuits, and hearing the continuous mirror tape go out now seems rather ironic. Well, at that point, someone obviously found that tape too ironic and switched it off. On the other side, the BBC is not the only organisation making special broadcasts towards the Falkland Islands. The British Forces Broadcasting Service, which normally broadcasts only on FM and medium wave in various areas such as Cyprus, Gibraltar or West Germany to British troops, is now on shortwave thanks to a special arrangement.
Brian Bass, controller of BFBS Radio in London, explained the details to Media Network.
Well, our problem as the British Forces Broadcasting Service in serving the task force of the Falklands was that, of course, we're not normally required to broadcast in the South Atlantic, so we have absolutely no facilities in that part of the world, and in most circumstances, I mean, we simply would not have been involved. But we felt that we couldn't just sit in London doing absolutely nothing when there were wives, families at home here all wanting to contact, you know, their menfolk on the ships. And here we were, the British Forces Broadcasting Service, and what were we doing about it? Well, of course, it looked as though we couldn't do very much about it. And then we put on our thinking caps and thought, well, perhaps we could through the Ministry of Defence. We tried, but clearly the Ministry of Defence's communications were strictly for operational reasons. And although they wanted to help us, indeed, I mean, they are our employer, and there wasn't anything practical that they could do to help us. So eventually we talked to the BBC's external services. They dug around a bit, and eventually, and very kindly, they came up with two frequencies in the South Atlantic, which they were able to let us have on the 13 and 16 metre wave band. Now, they've got their job to do, and although they do broadcast to the Falkland Islands themselves in normal times and to the Merchant Navy, they are not briefed to broadcast to the Royal Navy, so that clearly was going to have to be our job. Well, they've given us the frequencies, and from the 26th of April, we went on the air on Mondays, Wednesdays and Saturdays at 1100 GMT, and what we're doing basically is a request programme presented by Sarah Kennedy, who's a former BFBS girl, from the families at home in the UK to the ships at sea. And I gather it's very popular, though at the moment it's still too early for big reaction. Not much mail is coming through from the ships.
This is BFBS, the British Forces Broadcasting Service, calling the United Kingdom Task Force. Here with a programme of requests and messages from family and friends at home is Sarah Kennedy.
Hi, lads. Good to be back with you. Not an awful lot of news from home. In fact, you lot are the news. I can report, though, that our smell of really hot weather has broken today. It's been in the mid-60s, just to make you jealous. Oh, and yet, no, I must tell you this. Stuck into my sweaty paw yesterday was a parody of Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, entitled... Wait for it. Get on your bike, Argentina. So while the lads are away, the wits will play. But I'm going to start with Master Manilow. And this is for Graham Baker, who's on board HMS Sheffield. Hi, Graham. Your wife writes from Cowplain in Portsmouth. She doesn't sign her name, unfortunately, but she does say that she hasn't seen you since last November. When you.
How long is the programme?
The programme is only half an hour, which isn't very long. And we are deliberately cutting down on the number of discs, and we're slightly truncating the discs themselves. We don't think any of the artists involved will be worried about that. We're doing it very carefully, but we're trying to reduce the amount of music and increase the number of messages. In fact, the one that we did yesterday, I mean, we were startled. We actually got 50 requests in half an hour, and that really takes some doing.
And how long will that continue?
Well, we intend to let that run as long as it's needed. I mean, as long as there is a British fleet in the South Atlantic, we'll keep it going. But quite clearly, if the problem is resolved, and we sincerely hope it will be, and the fleet makes its way out of the South Atlantic, then there would obviously be no further point for the programme.
And that's coming from where? The Ascension Island?
Now, what we do is we record the programme in London at our BFBS studios here. We take it to Bush House, and Bush House then transmit it, and it goes via Ascension to the fleet.
And the BFBS transmissions are going out at present on Monday, Wednesday and Saturdays, 11 hours UTC on these frequencies, 21490 and 17830, 21490 and 17830 kilohertz. And presumably this is one of the sources that the Argentine clandestine radio station, Radio Liberty, is using in order to make personal requests to the crews on board the British task force to reconsider and go home. Since last week, a number of sources indicate that Argentina is in fact the source of this mystery female voice, which pops up at 20, 22, midnight and even 02 hours UTC for around 45 minutes on the frequency of 17740 kHz. Since the start of the new shortwave frequency period last Sunday, however, reception has been almost impossible due to the introduction of new stations on that frequency. Its impact on the British task force was would make an interesting study at the moment. 400 hours of radio entertainment from the BBC Transcription Service has been flown out to the fleet, and British Forces Broadcasting Service television is also involved. BFBS TV only operates live in Germany, though, as Mr. Patchbar, head of that service, now explains.
What happens there is that we record up to 3 hours a day of the output in Germany, just onto domestic standard VHS. And this then comes back to London, and we make a handful of copies of these because the number of copies is restricted. And these go to some of the outlying areas of troops and their families around the world. We are actually sending one copy of the video cassette service to the Falklands Force, and any day now I think that number will be increased to two or three or four or even more.
On the civilian side, the BBC Calling the Falklands programme continues to go out nightly, though the volume of response is greater than airtime allows. Genevieve Eckenstein is the editor of BBC Topical Tapes, the section that's putting together the programme.
Mail, we've had quite a lot. We've had telegrams, letters, postcards, but it is really the telephones. The telephones never stop ringing from about 9 in the morning till about 11 at night, and we're not always here at 11 o'clock at night, I can assure you. But the phones ring. You know, we've got three phones in the office. You put down, the moment you put down one, another one rings. All ages, I mean, you get grannies ringing up. We've had some children recording songs and messages, very touching little toddlers who are sort of pushed towards the phone and told to send messages to Granny and Grandpa.
So you're almost a radio-telephone link.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But isn't it putting a strain on the staff?
Well, we've got two or three people on loan as long as we have to go out live. And there's a great sense of enthusiasm, of excitement. We're living through a little bit of history. It's nice to be able to work on a story that's moving, because although it's a nightly programme, it does change, it depends. I mean, there are days when there's more hard news, you have a debate, you have Mrs. Thatcher making a statement, or other days when there's not so much, then we get through the messages, because I think we've got about 2,000 messages by now. And so we are behind, there's no doubt about that.
On Monday, the BBC announced that its Latin American service in Spanish was being jammed, as from Sunday night. Three of the six frequencies used appear to be affected, but not continuously. The channels that are 15390, 11820 and 11680 kHz. On early Wednesday morning, we found 11680 kHz to be heavily disturbed with this noise, which suddenly comes from nowhere. So with a noise like this on top of the broadcasts, we rang the head of the BBC Latin American service, Albert Palaos, to see if they knew the source of the deliberate interference.
Yes, we have information that it is coming from three different areas in Argentina. One is in the very north of Argentina, not far from the Bolivian frontier, in the area of Jujuy. Another one is in the area of Córdoba, and the third one is in the area of Rosario.
Now, does this jamming work all the time throughout the broadcasts?
No, it hasn't worked right through our transmissions. The latter part of the transmission has got through, but they have jammed the first part of our service in Spanish for Latin America.
Why is that? Does it carry most of the news about the Falklands?
Well, there is news about the Falklands right through the transmission, obviously, and we have six news bulletins at the moment which are devoted mainly to the Falklands crisis. But in the first part of the transmission, we do have a 35-minute program which is concerned only with the Falklands crisis, so there might be a desire particularly to jam that space, that program.
But other frequencies are getting through, as far as you know.
Other frequencies are getting through, yes, and we are at the moment trying to find ways of overcoming the problem.
What would that mean, more frequencies?
Well, it might mean more frequencies. There might even be a possibility of additional transmissions at different times.
At the moment, I think you've recently upgraded the service in terms of its output, because weren't you having a government cut a little while back?
Well, we had a government cut, although the cut actually affected only our Brazilian transmission. We had no cut in the Spanish-American output. but our Brazilian output was cut from 2 hours and a quarter to 1 hour and a quarter. And what happened now is that we have placed in the hour that used to be Brazilian and which had been cut from the 28th of March, we have placed in that period an additional hour of programming in Spanish for Latin America. That is the hour from 0015 to 0115 BST.
Are you getting any mail at all? Presumably nothing from the audience or the Argentine audience.
Well, we're getting a great many telephone calls. We're also getting information from somebody in the British interest section of the Swiss Embassy in Buenos Aires to the effect that many people have been telephoning the office asking for information about our broadcasts. And we also have information that, for instance, the most important radio station in Santiago de Chile is rebroadcasting virtually our entire output. This is a station called Radio Minería in Santiago. They are rebroadcasting our entire output locally.
Well, as far as the truth of what's going on in the South Atlantic is concerned, Britain and Argentina put out conflicting reports, perhaps not surprisingly. It must be certainly confusing for the islanders. Reports last week indicate that the local station on the Falklands, LRA 60, Islas Malvinas, has been closed down after a BBC correspondent in Chile fed recordings monitored off the air to London. But this would mean that Argentina has then no way of talking to the islanders directly. What's more likely is that the shortwave frequency of 2370 kHz has been switched off, whilst the medium wave outlet of 536 kHz is left on, thus making it more difficult, if not impossible, to hear the local station on the mainland. On Monday night, however, the BBC Falklands programme carried a message from the former British governor of the Falklands, Rex Hunt, who had his own suggestions as to which side the islanders should believe.
You've all doubtless heard the conflicting claims in the recent fighting between the Argentine and the British forces. After the way the Argentine government have misinformed their people about the Falkland Islands for so many years, I know I do not have to tell you that their ridiculous claims of losses and damage to our task force on Saturday are completely false, and that the statements you've heard in the BBC Overseas Service are completely accurate.
In the meantime, though, according to the BBC Monitoring Service, three private commercial stations in Argentina have been authorised to broadcast their programmes to the residents and armed forces on the Falklands, and they appear to be doing so when the official external service is not on the air. Radio del Plata operates on 11710 kHz between 03 and 10 hours UTC. Radio Rivadavia is now on 9690 kHz between midnight and 10 hours UTC, and finally 6060 kHz in the 49 metre band is carrying Radio Continental between 11 and 15 hours UTC. All this, of course, is subject to change depending on the situation. Next, we pick up on a story we left in the air last week concerning the future of Radio New Zealand's external service on shortwave. Last week, we learned of a government cabinet meeting, and so for the outcome, let's bring up Beverly Wakeham, controller of programmes for the whole of Radio New Zealand, which includes the section for external broadcasting. So, Beverly, what's happened?
The cabinet met on Monday and decided not to continue the funding grant to the corporation to maintain the external services. On that basis, the corporation has decided that it cannot itself fund the service, nor can it find the capital necessary to upgrade the service, which will be needed imminently. So the chairman made a press statement on Tuesday to the effect that following the government decision, the corporation would close down the external service from midnight on Friday, the 7th of May.
Is that midnight New Zealand time?
That's midnight New Zealand time.
So are you planning a goodbye program?
Well, we are hoping to do a short 10 to 15 minute program of farewell, covering some of the highlights of the broadcast over the years, and with some messages from the Director General and so on.
What's happening to the staff then? Are they going to lose their jobs?
Well, since the service was first closed down in 1976, when we found jobs for 9 people, we've been running it since then with a skeleton staff of 2 full-time people and 3 or 4 part-time people. The part-time people are engaged on other work, but the 2 full-time people will in fact have to be redeployed, and at the moment that is proving a little bit difficult. May I just say, through you, thanks to all our listeners through Europe and elsewhere who have been very kind to write to us and tell us how much they appreciate what we have done over the years. We have really appreciated that support.
This is the national programme and shortwave service of Radio New Zealand.
Well, also with us is Tony King, probably a well-known name if you've been listening to Radio New Zealand, since he's a contract presenter with the external service. Tony, since yesterday we've been hearing hourly announcements on the shortwave service mentioning the close down. So who are these intended for?
They're intended for the stations that rebroadcast programmes from the shortwave service. These are the stations in Cook Islands, in the Samoas, Niue, those who take regular feeds from New Zealand of news, particularly between 2300 and 2315, and also in the afternoon, New Zealand time, between 3:40 and 4 Greenwich Mean Time, just to keep them informed and to keep listeners other than stations informed of the demise of the shortwave service.
When it closes down tomorrow, what time is it going to go off the air, and where can we look for it on the dial?
Well, the close down on 15485 and 11960, according to the schedule, will be 12:15, Friday the 7th of May, Greenwich Mean Time.
12:15 Greenwich Mean Time, and the frequencies once again?
11960 and 15485.
Well, on Tuesday evening of this week, though, Radio New Zealand carried an interesting item in the news, fed to us by Arthur Cushion.
The Christchurch-based gospel broadcasting group Radio Rima wants to take over the shortwave services to the Pacific, currently run by the Broadcasting Corporation. The service is due to end on Friday night, because the Ministry of Foreign Affairs has cut its $180,000 subsidy.
Radio Rima first tried 5 years ago to start up its own shortwave service to the Pacific, and its national director, Dick Berry, says they've made repeated submissions since, more recently with a view to taking over the present service, since there was a possibility of it ending. The most recently...
Well, Tony, what's the background to this particular story?
There was an interesting turn of events on Tuesday evening when the Christian Broadcasting Association here in New Zealand, which operates 2 stations, Radio Rema, R-H-E-M-A, renewed an offer they made a year ago when they heard that the shortwave service may be going off, and they have this week renewed the offer to take over the shortwave facilities of Radio New Zealand and therefore broadcast Radio Rema programs, or the religious programming, to the Pacific. Now, as at today, there has been no further development since they made that offer earlier in the week.
They just take the old transmitters or build new ones?
This would be presumably just simply programming the equipment that we have here, or which is the property of the Broadcasting Council of New Zealand.
So would those transmitters be sold, or would they hire airtime?
Well, I believe the mood is to hire the airtime, or virtually try and program them with the transmitters. Virtually, the transmitters would be tendered out. The details, of course, of what Radio Rema's proposition is are unknown to me and probably unknown to most people, but it's interesting that the offer is there on the eve of the close down as contemplated.
Back in 1980, you initiated an attempt to call people in North America with a New Zealand calling program. How successful was that?
New Zealand calling came as a modification of the sort of mailbox-type programs which were all in vogue in the 60s and 70s, and the idea was to develop it from a correspondence program into more of a New Zealand tourism-type program and to put current affairs and that sort of thing into the program. It was very successful. In fact, it appeared to be more appealing than just answering simply letters.
We were also able to introduce, when the Airlink of Japan was created, we commenced a Japanese segment. It started off with only 2 minutes, and the 2 minutes every fortnight, that is 4 minutes a month, created 800 letters a month from Japan. And it's on the strength of that that we have increased from 2 minutes to 15 minutes. And the major highlight, as far as I'm concerned, in the last 3 months is that we've launched a tour to New Zealand for VCL listeners from Japan, and this will be sponsored by the Sony company in Japan. And we hope that this, notwithstanding the events of this week, will take place from the 24th of July to the 1st of August. And we're expecting 45 shortwave listeners to coming down to New Zealand, not only to enjoy New Zealand, but also to see what Radio New Zealand has or has had to offer. And this is presently being launched throughout Japan through 3,000 of these Sony radio shops, simply on the strength of the New Zealand calling program.
Tony King. And now have a listen to this mystery station identification we broadcast 4 weeks ago today.
Aquí, Radio 1 Lilba, la voz de la resistencia ómica. Transmitimos en la onda corta con una potencia de 10.000 vatios. Escuchen en primer lugar nuestro boletín de noticias presentado por Broma Países Bajos.
Well, if someone did hear the voice of Ohmic Resistance on April the 1st at 0401 UTC, they must have been dreaming. Secret numbers we referred to turned out to be our Radio Netherlands answering line phone number, and we leave you to look up the newsreader's name in the dictionary. It seems quite a few listeners were pleasantly deceived for a while, and thanks to Gerard Casey in Bordeaux, France, who sent us a very amusing telex in Spanish, in which he asked us if reception is better under the influence of Captain Morgan Rum. Also thanks to a number of callers to the answering line, Hilversum 18700. Incidentally, apart from that Morse message at the start of the programme, which said April Fool instead of Media Network, everything else in that programme was in fact quite true. Now, someone who wasn't easily fooled by all that is Arthur Cushion, and he's with us now with the Pacific Media News.
New Caledonia. English is now broadcast every Saturday from 0900 to 1100 in a popular America disc jockey show. The program is heard very well on 7170 kHz, though it is also carried on medium wave on 666 and on shortwave on 3355 kHz. Here's a typical station announcement.
I would love to have a kind of letter from you, expressing your thoughts and your feelings about this broadcast. You can send them to Bob Foster, care of FR3 Radio, Post Office Box G3, New Man, New Caledonia. Get the letter in the mail as soon as possible, because I'd love to hear from you.
That disc jockey is Johnny Knight. He also likes to hear from listeners, and his address in the States is Box 488-82, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90048. Wallace Island. The first verification reported from Wallace Island has been received by Gary Bowles, reporting in DX Post Adelaide. Wallace Island operates on 1188 kHz and has local programming as well as broadcasts in French, and is heard around 0800. The station verified with a letter in French, and the station is known as FR3, French for Regional 3, Wallace Island. Hobby Pirates. Europe and North America have its Hobby Pirates, and across in Australia we have CBN. Now in New Zealand we have a station called Radio Freedom, 4FFF, broadcasting on 3930 kHz from Dunedin. The station is heard at weekends between 0500 and 0600 UTC, mainly on Saturday and Sunday. And here's a typical station announcement.
Receive the transmission from the pirate radio station, Radio Freedom, broadcasting shortwave on 3.9 megacycles. 75 metres in, please write to us if you're receiving our signal.
USA Armed Forces Radio and Television Service, a new frequency is 15305. This frequency actually originates from the Philippines, 2000 to midnight 30 UTC, but around 2200, some interference from Swiss Radio International. As from May 2, VOA are using 12 new frequencies, and the most interesting one for this area is the use of 25 7.05 kHz and the transmission time 0730 to 1400 from the Philippines, a VOA transmission. Sweden. Radio Sweden recently carried out tests with their curtain and log periodic aerial arrays. There was 14 minutes on each array, and the transmission to Australia and New Zealand on 21.610 kHz from 1100 to 1130 in English was heard with both aerials. The first 14 minutes on the curtain array, the second 14 minutes on the log periodic. But over the test period, it was obvious that the curtain array gave the best signal level in this part of the world.
Thanks, Arthur.
I've been doing some listening between 3 and 30 megawatts. It's, some people get static, some people get far off countries. I just get a headache.
Serving the universe from Flevo, Radio Netherlands, with relays in Russia, Bonaire, and Madagascar. Any questions?
And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website, where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.